The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And we see a pregnant lady in the on the floor, and we turn her around, and the stomach is open, wide open. There's a baby connected, an unborn baby connected to the cord with a knife. And the mother is shot in the head. And you're over there, and you look, and you think, you use the imagination to think, what was first?
One of the first responders, an eyewitness to the horrific murder of a pregnant woman and her unborn child, as he walked through one of those small kibbutzes attacked by Hamas fighters on Saturday morning. And all of the Jobama people, I mean, they're out there saying to Israel, now, whatever you do in Gaza, you better abide by the laws of war. There are rules that you've got to abide by. Nobody's lecturing Hamas. No, we're funding them. We send Hamas money. We send the PA money. We send Iran, the number one state sponsor of terrorism, and the one that ordered this attack. We send them billions and billions of dollars, hoping that they'll be maybe just a little bit less of an adversary, pay them off, and then go about lecturing Israel on the so-called laws of war. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. All the shows this week have been very sobering, as God is getting us emotionally prepared for what's coming, for what's about to engulf the earth. Jesus said, Great Tribulation, just before. Great Tribulation that would spread across all nations. That's in Matthew 24. We need to be emotionally prepared for what's ahead. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. You can also go to our website, or rather our Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. And you can watch the live stream there every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. We were very excited yesterday to have nearly an hour-long conversation with Israeli journalist Carolyn Glick, who lives just in the southern reaches of Jerusalem. And she's been reporting. She talked about some of the catastrophic blunders that the Israeli government has made over the decades as they've tried to live alongside a terrorist state. And now they're coming to understand that it just can't work. You can't live side by side with evil, with the Hamas charter, basically that says, hey, our mission is to kill Jews. Our mission is to wipe out Jews entirely. They don't even try to conceal it, their true intentions. And yet still, you have billions flowing into the Palestinian cause from Western nations. And now you have this effort, U.S. officials, Jobama officials, bending over backwards to try to protect Iran as well. They're the paymaster. They organized the attack. They ordered the hit. And so here comes Barack Obama. He had a carefully worded statement on Monday. He waited 48 hours just to see how horrific it was. He and Joe Biden, I mean, they can't very well come out and say, listen, Listen, we need a truce. Israel doesn't need to retaliate. That just makes it worse. So they've got to come out with a strong worded statement condemning Hamas. Hamas, you see, is expendable. As long as they protect the mullahs in Iran, Hamas, I mean, that's just peanuts comparatively. So we can throw them under the bus, no problem. Give Israel a little bit of latitude. But still, we've got to lecture Israel. We've got to tell Israel, look, you better abide by the laws of war. You better play by the rule. Hamas doesn't play by the rules. For sure they don't. A pregnant woman, they cut her belly open. They stab the baby, the unborn baby. And then they shoot her in the head. And as that eyewitness says, you know, you have to wonder, what did they do first? Did they carve out the baby and stab the unborn child in front of the mother while she was still living and then shoot her in the head? This is right out of the mind of Satan the devil. He's a murderer. He has been from the beginning. He's the father of all murderers. Jesus said in John 8, verse 44. Here's Joe Bama and company out there lecturing Israel about what's right and what's wrong when it comes to war. This is clip 9.
And I will also say that as the president said yesterday, we don't want to see civilian deaths anywhere. We want to see civilians protected. We want to see civilians not targeted. We expect Israel to follow the laws of war. That's what democracies do.
It is really important that Israel, with all the anger, frustration, and just don't know how to explain it, that exist, is that they operate by the rules of war. The rules of war. And there are rules of war.
There's the fake president, Joe Biden, yesterday, saying that there are rules of war. He makes a 2-minute statement on Saturday. Then he doesn't make an appearance until Tuesday, until after the dear leader speaks. The dear leader sends out his tweet Monday, and then Joe Biden can say what he said on Tuesday. Talk about sheer evil, and it was sheer evil. But they're already beginning to tie one arm behind Israel's back. This is the cycle that's been playing out for decades. For decades, the dust settles. And then you have a barrage of rocket fire. I mean, that happened in the spring. Now you have the barrage of rocket fire together with a ground assault from 1,000 Hamas terrorists. As they come in, they surround the music festival. They head into these 3 or 4 kibbutzims. And they start carving up pregnant women. They start burning people alive. They start beheading people. This is from Asia, the Asia Times. It says, the main lesson for Israel from the hideous Hamas attacks suffered over the weekend is simple. Terrorists can't be managed. You can't live alongside a terrorist state and expect there to be peace. You cannot manage them. Israel tried the experiment for, what, 18 years? They give every square inch of Gaza over to the Palestinian Authority in 2005. And what happens in Gaza? By 2007, Hamas, they were throwing the PA off buildings. And they got control of the Gaza Strip. And it's been a terrorist proxy for Iran ever since. Kidnappings, murders, rocket fire. It says, for decades, Israel worked with Hamas and the Palestinian Authority by combining incentives on the one hand with controlled military responses on the other. It says, the United States is not alone in funding the Palestinian Authority, in funding Hamas, in funding Iran. Western nations in Europe have done this. And you know what? So has Israel. Israel sends in the food, they send in the electricity, they give work permits to people in Gaza, 18,000 of them. every day coming into Israel so that they can work. This is how Hamas has been treated by the West. And how do they return the favor? Well, with what you saw on Saturday morning. It says major attacks, including rockets from Gaza last May, prompted retaliation, usually with air power, and a subsequent ceasefire, often brokered by Egypt. So there's the attacks. Then Israel has to hurriedly respond before the West begins to apply pressure. Now, Israel, make sure that you abide by the laws of war. We can't have something turn out to be disproportionate. How many did you lose? Okay, you lost 1,100. Well, then you can go ahead and attack Gaza until about 1,100 people or so are dead. And then we've got to have a truce. Egypt can broker it. Western Europe can broker it. France, maybe. The United States. This is the cycle that's been going on for decades. It says the policy derived from several elements. The first is world opinion, specifically American government opinion, that could turn against Israel unless it responded to terrorism in a manner congruent with pronounced Western standards. You see, we have standards in the West. Now, Hamas doesn't, but that's okay. Send them billions. And hopefully they'll become less of an adversary. It says here, Israel believed that any military response had to happen quickly to avoid blowback from allies and friends as much as from enemies. Israel has also always believed that someday, somehow, there would be a political solution. Israeli leaders could be angry with Palestinian leadership, Hamas or the PA, but they also talked to them, subsidized them, looked the other way at language that veered into Nazi trope, and even invited them to lunch, try to make peace with the terrorists. I mean, there's an important spiritual lesson here. You can't let the devil, you can't let the father of lies and murder, you can't just let him live alongside your estate, your nation, your community, your household. God says to resist against the devil and to draw near to him. There's not very much of that going on in the world today. People trusting in their own human reasoning, relying on their own armies or armaments, munitions, but not looking to God. Not looking to God. And we had Carolyn Glick on. She's a journalist. And I love what she said yesterday about God commanding us. She was paraphrasing from Deuteronomy 30. God commands us to choose life, not death, to choose obedience, not rebellion, not disobedience or transgression, to choose blessings, not curses. We're just being pounded by curses here in the United States, in Western nations, in little Judah as well. These are not blessings, what plays out from one week to the next. It says here, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he intends to crush Gaza, but what does that mean? Israel will send in the army and try to free as many hostages held in Gaza as possible. Then Israel will go after as many Hamas leaders as it can find, but many will likely try to cross the border into Egypt. And eventually the West will, no doubt, tie Israel's hands behind its back. They'll get some of the Hamas commanders and fighters, but some will, they'll fall through the cracks. And the number one state sponsor of terrorism will continue its evil dealings around the world. Hamas called for worldwide demonstrations on Friday. And we'll see how that plays out. They were already prepared to come out and demonstrate their hearty support for carving up pregnant women. They did it in Western nations on Sunday, just hours after this gruesome attack.
That's right. They gathered together to show their support for Hamas and the Palestinians in Sydney, Australia, where they chanted, "Gas the Jews." That's in Sydney. And there were similar demonstrations in London, in New York City, in Tampa, in Montreal. And you don't want to forget the demonstrations right there in Gaza as they paraded these mutilated bodies of Jews through the streets to cheering crowds. These are the poor, innocent Gazans, you know, the ones, just ordinary citizens. They didn't waltz into Israel with an AK-47, but I mean, they are cheering on Hamas. At least those out in the streets. And a lot of people around the world are cheering them on as well. So obvious that Hamas carried out this attack with the full backing and support and financing of Iran, the mullahs in Iran. And so when you see Joe Obama, when you see them out there trying to cover for Iran, you know they're lying. They're trying to cover up the truth and lying at the same time. Listen to this montage of Joe Obama officials repeatedly saying that there's just no evidence of Iranian involvement here. Nothing to see here. Clip 4.
We haven't seen any direct evidence that Iran participated in these particular attacks, but no specific evidence that they were participating in this, so, resourcing this, planning these series of attacks. But again, neither we nor the Israelis have seen any firm evidence or intelligence that says Iran was directly involved in participating in these attacks.
And how much more do we know about how deeply involved Iran was in the initial planning of this attack?
No evidence that says that they were involved specifically with these attacks and participating, planning, resourcing. But again, no specific tactical evidence that says they were involved in these attacks.
In this specific instance, we have not yet seen evidence that Iran directed or was behind this particular attack.
As to the question of whether Iran knew about this attack in advance or helped plan or direct this attack, we do not, as of the moment I'm standing here at the podium, have confirmation of that.
As of this moment, again, carefully worded statement. As of this moment, we don't have confirmation. There's no evidence. The Wall Street Journal came out with its report just a couple days ago saying that all the Hamas people are saying, well, yeah, of course we had support from Iran. The Washington Post, same thing. Even the Washington Post, Hamas planned the attack with, quote, key support from Iranian allies who provided military training and logistical help, as well as tens of millions of dollars for weapons. That's according to current and former Western and Middle East intelligence officials talking to the Washington Post. A little bit of truth, seeing the light of day. But for the most part, the regime media, covering for the regime. This is CNN. Initial U.S. intelligence suggests Iran was surprised by Hamas, the Hamas attack on Israel. Did you know this? Yeah, Iran, the mullahs, they were surprised by what happened Saturday morning. They weren't expecting it. That's CNN. It's actually a team of CNN journalists. Four of them. Four of them putting together this bit of propaganda. The U.S. has collected specific intelligence that suggests senior Iranian government officials were caught by surprise by Saturday's bloody attack on Israel. See, Hamas, they were acting alone. So we can endorse Israel's retaliation, but just to a point. Just to a point, because there are laws of war. So Israel, you better be careful. You better not turn it to rubble in there at Gaza, because you've got to abide by the rules here. Hamas doesn't. And just so that you know, Hamas, they're operating completely on their own, independent of any other state actors, certainly not Iran. See, the dear leader, he's got to protect the mullahs at all costs. I mean, this is what he envisioned from the beginning, from 2009 to this point. I mean, he wanted to realign the power in the Middle East. This is, again, those officials. Well, I don't need to play it again, but listen to Maria Bartiromo responding to all of these these endless statements about Iran's just not in any way involved. This is from Fox Business, clip 8.
The administration so far has been unable to say there is any direct link to Iran. This administration is having such a hard time admitting that Iran is behind this. And why?
And now they cannot admit what that Wall Street Journal report proved over the weekend, right? The IRGC signed off on this attack in Beirut. There was no way that they could have done this without the money. And
I think we have to be careful to understand it's not just the $6 billion.
Oh, no.
Okay, it's the appeasement from day one of this administration.
Without a doubt.
Allowing all of that black oil, the oil on the black market, easing sanctions. It's all supportive of Iran since this president walked into the Oval Office.
Appeasement from day one, says Maria. That's been the policy of this administration. That's why they unfreeze $6 billion for the mullahs to help themselves to from Qatar. That's why they send money into the PA. That's why they send money to even the Taliban. Rand Paul let that cat out of the bag yesterday. Yeah, we're still funding these movements, these terrorist movements in Afghanistan, in Gaza, in Iran. And then they have the audacity to tell Israel, you better play by the rules. You better obey the laws of war. There are laws of war. Listen to Jake Sullivan, again, trying to dismiss Iran's involvement in this this brutal, this horrific attack from over the weekend. Clip 5.
But as I stand here today, while Iran plays this broad role, sustained, deep, and dark role in providing all of this support and capabilities to Hamas in terms of this particular gruesome attack on October 7th, we don't currently have that information.
You just laid out all of the ways that Iran is complicit in this and facilitated it over years of support for Hamas. Is that reason enough to refreeze the $6 billion that the U.S. helped unlock for them to get in exchange for the prisoners?
We have not yet had a dollar of that $6 billion spent, and I will leave it at that. Let me just reiterate what I said, because it's unequivocal. Not a dollar of that money has been spent, and I will leave it at that.
Did you hear what he said at the start of that clip? That's Jake Sullivan. He speaks of Iran playing a broad role, sustained, deep, and dark role in providing all of this, these important capabilities to Hamas. I mean, he laid out the evidence. Of course they're sponsoring Hamas. Of course they have a broad and deep role. But now, as to the $6 billion, now, none of that's even been spent yet. So there's no evidence that they're involved this time. There's no evidence that there is evidence that they've been involved in every other incursion into Israel. But with this one, no. Squeaky clean. No Iranian involvement whatsoever. So we can still, we don't need to freeze the $6 billion. We can throw more billions at them. For sure. That's what we've been doing. That's our policy. Just give them more and more money and hope that they'll be less and less of an adversary. How's that working out for the dear leader? How's that working out for Joe Obama? How's that working out for Israel? Listen to this. I played this clip yesterday, but it's worth repeating here. This is Joe Biden. It's coming from his strongly worded statement on Tuesday. And notice what he said. Clip 6.
When Congress returns, we're going to ask them to take urgent action to fund the national security requirements of our critical partners.
Says the guy who's funding the states of terror, the terror-sponsoring states. He says now when Congress returns, we're going to make sure that we fund the national security requirements that we need, that Israel needs. They say this even as they fund Iran, even as they fund the Palestinian Authority, even as they fund Hamas. Listen to Senator Rand Paul as he talks about getting behind the Israel's war effort or Israel's right to defend itself. Clip three.
I'm all for the aid. In fact, we had this debate about a year ago with Democrats. They wanted $1 billion more for Iron Dome. And I said, sure, I'm for that. Let's take it from a fund that we're funding the Taliban with. There's still a couple $1 billion out there that we are the Afghan Reconstruction Fund that's going to the Taliban, to people who are not our friends, who are our enemies.
Why?
In Afghanistan.
I don't understand that. Why are we funding the Taliban?
They think that somehow when you give money to your enemies, it makes them less of an adversary. We still give money to the Palestinian Authority. We give money to the PLO. So what I would say is, sure, let's fund whatever Israel needs now, but let's take it from funds that we're sending to countries that don't like us, that burn our flag, that chant into America. Why are we giving money to people who hate us?
Can you see why there's a few, not nearly enough, but can you see why there's a few members of Congress that say, hey, these continuing resolutions that we've been doing since the 1990s, we've got to go back to single item, you know, bits on the budget. Why are we sending money to the Taliban? Why are we sending money to Hamas? America's sending money to states all over the world that hate the United States, that hate America, that see America as the big Satan. In the case of Iran, these people behind closed doors have to be laughing hysterically at how stupid these Western nations are. Like I say, it's not limited to America alone. We send over billions. Israel sends in the electricity. Israel gives out the work permits. Israel's response is always very measured. They're going to unleash some wrath this time around because the attack was so horrific and so deadly. But you're already seeing signs of America and other nations getting in there and tying Israel's hands behind its back. That has been the history. We've just got to, hey, it's got to be a measured response, and then we've got to go back to living alongside a terrorist state. We've got to go back to the dear leader's policy of funding the Islamic Republic of Iran as strong, and there are people, I've seen Israeli commentators talking about Joe Biden's statement from Tuesday. It's the strongest show of support from any U.S. president in history. Well, okay, there's some strong words there, but what are the actions? Even the security requirements is a vague statement. What do you mean by that? As Carolyn Glick said yesterday on the show, a lot of the stockpiles of the weapons that Israel relies on from America, well, they've been up and moved to Ukraine. And we give Ukraine $120 billion. Where does it end? How does this end in a positive way? This world is about to explode. And God is giving us a preview of what's coming on a massive, wide scale. He's giving us a preview. He wants you to be emotionally prepared for what is coming, U.S. and Britain in prophecy. A third of your Bible is prophecy, and your Bible has a lot to say about the events that we're seeing unfold in our time, in our day. If you don't have a copy of this, call that 800 number there, 1-866-930-3024. Subscribe to the Trumpet magazine. How timely is this issue? Who is running the show? Who is running the show? And I told you, not yesterday, but the day before, my father's personal, world leaders who no longer have a human mind. They're just they're leading their countries, their nations, their terrorist states like vicious wild beasts, carving up pregnant women, killing little babies, beheading them. And you see people on social media saying, no, that didn't actually happen. That's just propaganda pouring forth from the IDF or from Israel. So I guess the Hamas terrorists were just, you know, very, very gentlemanly as they walked into Israel and murdered 1,100, 1,200 people. These are madmen possessed of the devil, carrying out atrocities that you can't even wrap your mind around. It's so horrific. Mark Hemingway at The Federalist. It says here, there's no doubt that these horrifying nationwide terror attacks in Israel are Obama's legacy, a result of his arrogant anti-American ideology put into practice. It says, but after the weekend, even Democratic partisans are scrambling to distance themselves from the Biden and Obama administration's ill-advised cozying up to Iran. Now we need to follow through and make sure the Obama-Biden foreign policy legacy and the dangerous ideology that motivated it is rejected and held up for the failure that it is. The Obama-Biden legacy? Who's running the show? It's the dear leader's third term, isn't it? And more people are recognizing it as such. Melanie Phillips, this was from last weekend. All over this barbaric onslaught are the fingerprints of Hamas's genocidal paymasters, Iran. She says, enough. Time to take out not just Hamas, but the head of the snake, the regime in Tehran. That's language we used at the trumpet 22 years ago. We told you that after 9/11, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, that wasn't going to solve the problem. The head of the snake is in Tehran. And there's Melanie Phillips saying it's time to go after the head of the snake. This is from Tablet. The article is titled America's Betrayal of Israel. Again, this is all spearheaded by the dear leader, Barack Obama. It says, a drone operated by an organization sponsored and trained by Iran, applying both Iranian tactics and most likely Iranian hardware to attack Israel. This happened weeks after America sent Iran $6 billion and 1 week after we learned that the American government had over the past years ceded whole parts of its own intelligence units to Iranian spies. Here, yeah, we're partners and we'll send you billions. And you know what? We won't even give you a lecture about the rules of war. We'll just let you carry out your atrocities and then lecture Israel. That's Barack Obama, foreign policy 101. Listen to this montage. This was put out by Grabian. I think it went on for 4 minutes. We've condensed it down to just a couple of minutes. But here it talks about the warnings were there when America was just itching to give billions and billions more to Iran. This takes us back to a couple of months ago, clip 7.
Didn't they also get 5 Iranians?
They will get 5 Iranians as well. Yeah, Jackie.
Then we need to add $6 billion on top of that.
This is the deal that we were able to strike.
Biden's ransom payment will be immediately used to stoke violence, bloodshed, and mayhem throughout the Middle East, putting Israel, the United States, and the entire world in very grave peril.
Joe Biden just lit a match to the Middle East. Israel has got to be on alert.
The news that the deal is moving forward is drawing criticism from both sides of the aisle on Capitol Hill.
The way to avoid having hostages taken by Iran is to be strong, firm, and resolute, and to not use carrots in the form of $6 billion, but to use sticks in the form of threats to things that Iran holds dear.
$6 billion they want released, and they're going to have choice. They're going to use it for humanitarian aid,
There's no guarantees of that. So I'm very much concerned about this. So we're looking into it much deeper, but I'm very concerned.
Do you have concern that money is fungible?
There is obviously money is fungible.
The administration says this is limited to humanitarian aid, but they also acknowledge that funds are fungible, which means they can move them around and will aid them in being able to do other things. So people are very concerned.
It seems, you know, very clear to the critics in both sides on the Hill that money is fungible. That's the criticism.
Right.
And now President Raisi has added fuel to the fire that already existed of criticism by saying we're going to do anything we want with it.
But isn't it true that this frees Tehran up to spend more on other nefarious goals like supporting terrorism and boosting its nuclear program?
And it's, you know, I can't predict what they'll do going forward here.
As Nancy explained to you, money's fungible.
Right.
And so any financial relief can be used by the regime in another way. And that's why there is real controversy to this.
They all knew. You can see why the dear leader, Barack Obama, you can see why it took him more than 48 hours to finally come out with a tweet on Monday. They were in a bind. Boy, how do we what do we say in response to this? We've been funding these madmen. We've been funding these savages. This tablet piece, it says, the stage for this attack was not set in or by Israel. It was set by the United States. Well, as Carolyn Glick said yesterday, I mean, Israel's made its share of mistakes as well. But look at the United States, the world's lone superpower. The stage was set for this attack by the United States. Can that be true? Well, look at the track record. Leave aside the strongly worded tweet on Monday or Joe Biden's strongly worded speech on Tuesday. People raved. Oh, this is great. I mean, what a strong showing of support. It shows how easily people are deceived by words. I mean, this leader, the dear leader, is a smooth talker. Oh, yes. He can say all the right sounding things. But look at what he's doing. Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20. You shall know them by their fruits. You know what Hamas is about. Just look at their fruits. And then look at us. Look at our nations. Look at the mistakes we make over and over and over again. This tablet article says, for the better part of the past decade, the United States has pursued a foreign policy designed to strengthen Iran and enable it to form a strong sphere of influence in the region. It says here, this is the idea behind what Tony Bedran and Michael Doran called the realignment, a vision of a new world order in which America partners with Iran in order to find a more stable balance of power that would make the Middle East less dependent on direct U.S. interference or protection. This is all part of Barack Obama's grand plan to realign the powers in the Middle East. And then, you know, America can depart, never go back again. You know, let Iran and its power and Israel and its power kind of counterbalance each other. And everything works out great. And we can focus on Asia. We can focus on other regions. Says here, those words aren't Bedran and Doran's, they're Robert Malley's, Barack Obama's lead negotiator on the Iran deal, who, as Semaphore reported this week, helped to infiltrate an Iranian agent of influence into some of the most sensitive positions in the U.S. government. I mean, he's being this Malley guy. I talked about him a little bit earlier this week. He's being investigated by the FBI as a traitor. He's bringing these Iranian agents into Joe Obama's government. This is the way Obama wants it. It says here, Biden himself in an op-ed in the Washington Post spoke of an integrated Middle East using the phrase no less than three times to make clear that his administration was intent on pursuing his predecessor's commitment to seeing Iran not as a U.S. foe, but as our collaborator. They're a partner, you see. So when Israel carries out its wrath against these Hamas savages, just be sure that you understand that Iran
Never mind their deep involvement in Hamas historically. This time around, they were perfect little angels in Tehran. They didn't have anything to do with the attack on Saturday morning. That's their story, and they're sticking to it. You heard the montage. Lee Smith, I've been meaning to get to this for days. This was also at Tablet. He says, how did we get here? The current state of affairs began when Joe Biden's former boss, Barack Obama, legalized a terror state's nuclear weapons program. That's what the JCPOA was all about. It wasn't drawn up to prevent Iran from getting a bomb. It was drawn up to allow for Iran to get the bomb with Barack Obama's oversight. He wanted this, you see. Says, despite what its publicist claimed, the purpose of the deal, officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, was never to stop Iran from getting the bomb. Rather, the tens of billions of dollars that Obama paid the clerical regime, which included plane loads of cash, was to facilitate construction of the nuclear weapons program under the protective umbrella of an international agreement backed by the United States. And Lee Smith says, just look at the agreement's clauses. In other words, read it. See what action. Never mind the strongly worded tweet or speech. See what action the Obama administration was taking. And now Joe Biden, he's following on in the same steps. The puppet master, you see, is completing the fundamental transformation, which includes this, fundamentally transforming the United States, or sorry, the Middle East, as well as the United States. Lee Smith says, nearly a decade after the selling of the Iran deal, it's much easier now for Americans to see that it was the origin point in a series of hugely consequential lies that have shaped our country at home as surely as they have shaped the lives of people in the Middle East. You see, that's another way of saying fundamental transformation. That's what we're seeing. He says they lied about Obama's successor being a Russian spy to legitimize the delegitimize the government and divide the country. That would be during the Trump years, in the hope of removing an elected president from office. They lied about an insurrection on January 6th to justify designating one half of the country as domestic terrorists. Here you've got all these actual terrorists roaming the streets, in the case of Israel, just Saturday morning. Nobody picked up on it. Israeli intelligence, the CIA. No. They're busy, you see. They're looking for terrorists at home, in the case of the CIA and the FBI. They're looking for MAGA supporters. Not these kinds of terrorists, the ones that carve up pregnant ladies. No. Just go after grandma who walked through the Capitol for 5 minutes. Says here, will shape the information space on their behalf. They first built their echo chamber. Well, it's just talking about the narratives that these people establish. It says Obama wanted to give Iran the bomb in the context of a larger realignment of U.S. interests with those of the Islamic Republic. If you've seen any of the videos on social media of Hamas operatives dragging Jews out of their homes and shooting them, you can see what that means. It says Obama admired Hamas's Iranian patron, Qassem Soleimani. That's the one that Donald Trump took out. So again, let's look at action here. Let's look at fruits. Obama admired him. He headed up the Revolutionary Guard in Iran. He headed up international terrorism through Iran's proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the others. Says Obama admired Hamas's Iranian patron, Qassem Soleimani, who ran Iran's expeditionary unit, the Quds Force, until the Trump administration killed him. Donald Trump was talking about this strike just yesterday. Listen to what he had to say, clip two.
When we took out Soleimani, it was us and Israel working as a group, and we knew where he was. We knew how he was coming in. We knew the plane. We knew everything. We worked on it for weeks, for months, actually. But we worked on it for weeks. And The night before, I don't think this has ever been told. Dude, he was going to blow up our installations all over, kill many people, many, many people, and wounded people beyond recognition. And Israel was going to do this with us, and it was being planned and working on it for months. And now we had everything all set to go. And the night before it happened, I got a call that Israel will not be participating. I'll never forget that Bibi Netanyahu let us down. That was a very terrible thing. I will say that. And so when I see sometimes the intelligence, you talk about the intelligence, or you talk about some of the things that went wrong over the last week, they've got to straighten it out, because they're fighting potentially a very big force. They're fighting potentially Iran.
They're fighting Iran, says Donald Trump. Now, again, he says this about Bibi even backing out on taking out Soleimani. No, Iran keeps coming through all of these atrocities unscathed. It goes all the way back to 9/11, doesn't it? The head of the snake, as Melanie Phillips says. There was Donald Trump. Bibi even withdrawing his support. According to Trump, Bibi withdrew his support right at the last minute. And yet Trump moved forward and took out this terrorism chief, Qassem Soleimani. That's how Donald Trump acted while in office. Quite unlike the dear leader, who really admired Soleimani. Lee Smith continues here. There's also an important domestic reason to get Iran the bomb, which was to normalize pathology. If you treat a nation state that embodies Jew hatred as an ally and arm it with a bomb, you are legitimizing Jew hatred, which is perhaps the dominant form that psychopathy takes in modern global politics. You are normalizing or legitimizing Jew hatred by giving these mullahs who say they want to destroy Israel, the little Satan, they want to annihilate Jews. Hamas, they don't even conceal their intentions on this front. Just annihilate, just kill Jews, Jewish babies, Jewish mothers, Jews, anybody that's a Jew, blot them out. Obama wanted to legitimize that movement. What does that tell you about the dear leader? He surrounded himself with all of those Jew haters, just like the Mali guy, that reappeared in Biden's administration until he was finally brought down this year by scandal. Legitimizing Jew hatred. It says, to believe Jews secretly rule the world, that the invisible hand of the elders of Zion tilts the world like gravity in favor of the Jews, and that mankind's dignity can only be restored if the Jews are disempowered or eliminated. He says it's a pathological belief, one that is shared by billions of people around the globe. You're seeing a lot of it right now. All these demonstrations, these showings of support for Hamas. You see it in the way people are going after, you know, commentators like Ben Shapiro, who's a Jew. I don't watch his program that much anymore, but he's been showing the worst of it. The graphic images coming out from southern Israel, as the Western media, the regime, they're ready to move on. And they're ready to talk about rubble in Gaza, and they're ready to lecture Israel about the rules, the laws of war. How do you explain this Jew hatred? Satan hates spiritual Jews above all, true Christians. And he has a special hatred in his heart for the physical Jewish race as well. This is from Lee Smith. It says, the Iran deal was more than a foreign policy blunder or a bad deal. It was the device that Obama consciously used to transform America. The reason that Obama had to push out the Jews is because they are one of the touchstones of American exceptionalism.
America grounds its unique self-conception and history through Israel. Like the Jews, we are one of a kind with a unique God-given destiny. You've heard about the Judeo-Christian ethic. It's embedded in the founding documents of America. So when Obama comes along and says, you know, we've got to fundamentally transform all of this, you can see why he had the policies he did with respect to Iran, with respect to Israel. It says here, Obama's transformation of America was to remake it in his own image by junking the idea that America is exceptional and dissolving the country's borders with the rest of the world. America is not unique. It is as sinful as any other nation, he was effectively arguing, and possibly worse. What better way to make that point than by throwing Israel overboard and replacing it with Iran, a country that preaches God's retribution against America? It's perfect. This goes right to the heart of what Carolyn Glick, like the message that she wants to get out to the world. She brought that out in our conversation yesterday. This was right out of Obama's playbook. Throw Israel under the bus and prop up Iran, this nation that spells out its mission in precise detail. Destroy Israel, destroy America. It says here, now that the Israel part of Obama's dream has been achieved, we should all be prepared for the other shoe to drop. The violence he unleashed in Israel will be coming to these shores now. That's what's coming to America now. Look at the wide open border. They don't want to close it. They want the millions to keep streaming in. You go back just a few years ago, the number of individuals on the terrorism watch list coming across the border, those that were apprehended, zero, maybe one or two in 2018, 19, 20. And what's it up to this year? Like 150 or so. 150. They're just streaming across the border. Bill Malusion, he sent out a tweet a few days ago. Internal CBP data provided, confirmed by CBP sources, reveals thousands of special interest aliens from mostly Middle Eastern countries have been apprehended by Border Patrol while crossing into the U.S. illegally over the last 2 years. He's got the numbers. He brought the receipts, 538 from Syria, 139 from Yemen, 659 from Iran, 123 from Iraq, Afghanistan, 6,386, and on it goes. Turkey, 30,000 from Turkey. People coming from all over the world, they're not being vetted. We don't know anything about them. Lee Smith is right. The violence he unleashed in Israel, speaking of the dear leader, the violence he unleashed in Israel will be coming to America's shores next. If you haven't requested America Under Attack, make sure that you call our operators today. The number 1-866-930-3024. If you're at our Rumble channel, at this moment, make sure that you give us a thumbs up. Let's bump the numbers up. There's quite a few of you over there watching the program even as we speak. So if everyone watching gives us that thumbs up, it'll be our best highly rated show yet. The Twitter handle, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Stephen Fleury. The email address, if you'd like to send some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.